As you write, a property tax freeze may sound like a great idea, but you say there are downsides to Governor Bruce Rauner's proposal, especially for schools and other municipalities. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, basically what the governor is proposing is to extend forever a statutory provision that would say local governments can't ask for more money from property taxes next year than they got this year unless voters were to approve it. It's sort of a take on our existing law, the tax cap law, as it's popularly called. Its technical name is the Property Tax Extension Limitation Law that currently is in place, and it impacts school districts and other local government units that aren't home rule cities in Chicago, Cook County, the collar counties, and about a third of the downstate districts. And what it says is that local units of government, taxing bodies covered by this particular law, can't ask voters for more in a following year than they got this year in property taxes if the request exceeds what the limit is. And the limit is based on the consumer price index. For example, for the taxes that people paid last year, the extensions, the billings, were limited to an increase of 0.8%. For the taxes that we're going to be paying this year in the spring and then in the late summer, it's 0.7%. So it's kept the lid down in those jurisdictions where it's in place. What the governor is saying is that the limit going forward will be 0%, and the only relief from that will be if a local district goes to the voters and says, can we raise our levy, what we're asking you to pay, beyond what we asked for last year? And unless they get voter approval, they'll be held in place. The difficulty I see in that, it's not particularly that dire for cities because they have a lot of other revenue sources. Although the Illinois Municipal League, which represents cities, has come out against this permanent property tax freeze. But cities, as they say, have other revenue sources. They collect sales taxes, for example. Cities get a share of the state's income tax proceeds. They have varying license fees, amusement taxes. There are some cities in Illinois that don't even levy a property tax because they have enough resources from these other taxes and fees. School districts, on the other hand, don't have that luxury. They rely overwhelmingly on property taxes. And so if you say your property tax levy is going to be frozen, what that means is as inflationary costs increase and as school districts have to pay more for salaries or pay more for gas for their buses or pay more for heat, light, all the other necessities, books, supplies, they can't get more money from taxpayers without going to a referendum.
And so how would you explain to taxpayers that they shouldn't back a property tax freeze as proposed, which is your argument?
I guess the argument would be, do you want to really hurt your local school district financially? Do you want to make it more difficult for your local schools to educate the children of your community to prepare them for, you know, their role in society going forward? And it's kind of an altruistic. If you want to be selfish, you'd say, no, I don't care whether more money goes to schools. I don't have kids in school. You know, my kids are all growing. What do I care? So in that sense, it's hard to convince somebody who has that attitude that it's all about me. But if you look at it as a society, as a community as a whole, it seems to me it's important that we provide the funding that schools need. Now, there are some anti-tax groups like the Illinois Policy Institute that says, well, Illinois already pays more than other states, our neighboring states, for education. But what they factor in is the pension payments, which are quite substantial in the neighborhood of $6, $7 billion that the state puts into the teachers' retirement system. Most of that is to make up for earnings that were never received because money was not put in as it should have been over the last, 100 years. And so we're trying to catch all that up. But as a practical matter, if I'm a school superintendent, and I'm trying to figure out how do I pay these bills. The fact that the state puts billions of dollars into the teacher's retirement system doesn't help me on the day-to-day operations of the school district. So I guess I would say it's kind of a civic duty, I believe, for people to support public education and not to tie the hands of the school districts and the administrators by saying you can never ask for more property taxes. And as I said before, you could go to referendum, but the record over the last 10 years, there were, I don't know, something like 136 referenda over the last 10 years asking voters should the local school district be allowed to increase its taxes. And two-thirds of the time, people said no. And so it's, as I say, I believe it really unfairly ties the hands of local school districts.
And so what would be a better idea to counter this proposal for property tax freeze?
Well, I think if you look at where property taxes go, they go to the schools. One way would be for the state to increase its share of public education so that we're no longer at the bottom of the heap in terms of state support for schools. And you could do it in a way where you would tell a school district, we'll give you one extra state dollar, but you have to abate or you have to give up one local property tax dollar. So in that sense, it would be a wash, and you would be shifting the burden away from property taxes and onto state dollars. And that would provide some relief for another problem with the way we finance education, and that is that we have the worst record of any state in terms of our support for low-income students. There are a number of states that put more money behind the education of a low-income student. We, on the other hand, as I said, have the worst record. We provide, on average, something like $2,000 less per student for a low-income kid than we do for a high-income kid or a kid from a wealthier family. And it's because we rely on property taxes, which are based on local property values. So if you're living in a wealthy community, you're going to have more resources than if you're living in an economically depressed one.